Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Now, the Israeli military has been given the green light to move forward with plans to take over Gaza City. It comes as the Israeli government considers the Hamas ceasefire proposal that could potentially result in the release of some living hostages. There are reports today that IDF troops are on the outskirts of Gaza City and that the army were assembling tents in southern Gaza to deal with displaced populations. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Caroline Willman, project coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza. She's been in Gaza City for several weeks, and I first asked Caroline how the population there are coping.
Especially actually in the last week, you can really feel stress and tension rising in Gaza City. I think the initial days after the announcement, in all honesty, people are so preoccupied with daily concerns, finding food for their family, etc. It didn't immediately hit people quite so hard. But then after a few days, when like the airstrikes started intensifying and we've started seeing movement of people, so some people are moving from the eastern side of Gaza City into the western side of Gaza City. And some people we also see are moving towards the south. And so in the last week, suddenly this threat has become very real. The airstrikes have intensified enormously. I've had several of my own colleagues who two nights ago, they were displaced in the late evening, literally picking up their children and leaving their house without even putting on their shoes. Yesterday, the building in which one of my colleagues lives was targeted and completely destroyed. So clearly, yeah, there's an intensification of fighting, and it comes with a lot of fear and uncertainty for the people in Gaza City.
And today we hear the Israeli Defense Minister approving plans for what's described as a conquest now of Gaza City and authorizing the call up of 60,000 reservists. This does not augur well. It must be a very worrying time for people there now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what is horrendous about this is how extremely difficult the situation already is. Already in western Gaza City, 40% of the city has been destroyed. In the east, 80% of the city has been destroyed. So people are squeezed already in this city.
You say people are extremely squeezed in terms of a very damaged city already as to where to go. Is that it?
Yes, exactly. So the question is really, where can people go within the west of Gaza City? Already there is hardly any space, but also if people do choose to move south towards Deir el-Balah, there is also no space. The UN estimates that now over 85% of the Gaza Strip, 2 million people, are squeezed into just 15% of the Gaza Strip. And so there is absolutely no space, nowhere for them to go. But of course, if they're being bombed out of their houses, eventually people do pack up their kids and leave.
Caroline, I'm reading in one report on the ground today from Gaza City, the head of the emergency committee in the Gaza municipality, Mustafa Kwazat, described the situation as catastrophic, with large numbers of people fleeing their neighbourhoods, many displaced on the roads and the streets without shelter. Have you seen that?
Yes, absolutely. So we see people move. We see more and more tents pop up, really, like even on the street where we live in the last few days, we've seen more tents popping up. And so this is really in a city. When I entered Gaza City 8 weeks ago, I described it as apocalyptic, because I have never seen anything in my life like the situation of Gaza City. And so the fact that now is going to get even worse, you know, people are desperate for a ceasefire, an immediate and a sustained ceasefire. And instead of that, what it seems that they will be getting is that they will be forcibly displaced out of their city and moved southwards. Let's not forget as well that these are people who have been endlessly displaced already. My colleagues, they have been displaced 6 times, 11 times, 15 times. This has become reality for them, but the thought of having to leave again and now again, not within Gaza City, but potentially leaving the whole area is absolutely devastating for them.
You mentioned the ceasefire, and this advance in Gaza City comes as we hear of this Hamas-approved ceasefire proposal. Have you any optimism around this 60-day ceasefire plan, Caroline?
I mean, I want to be optimistic because it is so desperately needed, but I also know that it's it's been talked about for months, and some days we are more optimistic than others. But in reality, we haven't seen anything on the ground. In any case, also, let's not forget that if a ceasefire does materialize, that everything that the people of Gaza have already lost, they will not gain it back. They will not gain back their bombed out houses. They will not gain back their family members who have been killed. But of course, yeah, it remains desperately needed. I want to be optimistic, but it's difficult to be so.
I see the French president saying the Israel plan now will drag the region into permanent war. Emmanuel Macron saying that this military offensive to conquer Gaza City will only lead to complete disaster for both peoples. For you, Caroline, and for your colleagues in Médecins Sans Frontières, can you tell me about the healthcare situation for people in Gaza now?
So the healthcare situation in Gaza City is already absolutely disastrous. So there is Al-Shifa Hospital, which is the main hospital of the city. They used to have 700 beds, and they're down to 250, with constantly several people, several patients for one bed, dealing with constant mass casualty incidents. And also at the primary healthcare level, there's absolutely not enough services available, especially now that more and more people are being squeezed into this very small area of Western Gaza. We run a primary healthcare clinic ourselves. We see more than 600 patients every day, and we're having to turn away up to 100 patients per day because we simply do not have the capacity to see them. Of course, all of the medical issues are being exacerbated by the hunger crisis, by the malnutrition. We see patients not healing properly, their wounds not healing properly, because people who don't have access to sufficient nutritious food, literally their bodies can't heal.
There are reports today that Gaza is facing a new threat in terms of healthcare, and maybe this is what you're touching on, Caroline, as diseases resistant to antibiotics spread across the devastated territory now.
A health system that has been completely decimated, with people whose immune system compromised by the recurrent displacement, the lack of access to food, the lack of access to safe drinking water, the horrendous hygiene conditions in those tent camps.
The findings I'm referring to are about this new threat of diseases that are resistant to antibiotics is in the Lancet, and it suggests a prevalence of multi-drug resistant bacteria in Gaza.
Yes, no, exactly. I think for me, none of this is surprising. If you keep in mind, so the health has been compromised now for 22 months. The injuries, lack of access to food, lack of access to safe water, are forced to live. And on top of that, of course, the fact that indeed the health system is decimated. So people have not had access to proper care for many, many months in most cases. So indeed, the fact that there are these diseases showing up now with like resistant to antibiotics. Again, not an expert on the matter, mm-hmm. but I think it just goes to show the recurrent the continued disaster upon disaster when you force an area to live under these circumstances when indeed there have been recurrent attacks also on healthcare.
And Caroline, international aid groups are saying they're not able to deliver shelter materials to Gaza, despite Israeli authorities saying they had lifted restrictions on such supplies. Tell me about the lack of aid access now and what that means for shelter and for malnutrition across the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, what's happened in terms of supplies for humanitarian aid is that between March and May, there was a complete blockade on anything entering the Gaza Strip. Since May, there is a trickle of aid coming back in, but it is absolutely not enough. It is absolutely not enough also in terms of food, for example, to feed the 2 million people in Gaza who are hungry. Let's not forget that before October 2023, Gaza needed 500 to 600 trucks of food to enter every single day to be able to feed the population. We're reaching nowhere near that amount. Food that does end up in the market tends to still be very expensive, so completely inaccessible for many people. And these are not normal circumstances. We are now looking at a population that already has very high rates of malnutrition, so they should be getting more food than they would get under normal circumstances rather than less. And it's something that indeed we see across the board. Also for us, for medical supplies, it remains difficult to bring in medical supplies. Same for shelter. If people will indeed be displaced, it's a huge question of where they will go. you know, there will be no place to set up tents, but there also will not be any tents for them to set up.
It sounds, Caroline, like a very challenging situation for so many there. And still the attacks continue, further deaths being reported as recently as today.
That is indeed what we see, what we and what my colleagues live on a daily basis.
Caroline, thank you very much for your time there. I really appreciate it. Caroline Willman, Project Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza. Thank you very much for speaking to us on Drive Time, and do take care.